There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 107 FM Talk, 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday. And breaking news right now, I'm watching it from Paris as fire has engulfed Notre Dame Cathedral. And it's gotten worse here over the last few minutes as the information's been coming in. Let's go to more from Melissa Bell from Westwood One.
A massive part of the church. Of the roof of the cathedral has already been destroyed. Large parts of that roof are now engulfed in flames. And for the time being, the police, the fire services are doing what they can to prevent people from getting any closer to the building, to try and allow more of those fire trucks to get up close.
And watch some video there during the news break of the spire, the tall spire from Notre Dame collapsing there. It might have been at the same time as the roof collapse, but I mean, seeing nothing here that shows this fire slowing at all as a massive fire has broken out in Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. I said earlier, think about this, and well put, our buddy, co-worker Bill Roth said, you know, after all those years and for it to burn now in 2019, yeah, think about it, 1160 started the job site for Notre Dame. Think about where we were at 1160, humankind. They finished in 1260 with Notre Dame. Now, tons of renovations have been done over time. It's not like the first time they've renovated anything at Notre Dame. But, I mean, to think about the fact that it lived through the things it lived through without being burned. I mean, whether it's what happened during the French Revolution when they cleared out so many pieces of antiquity and destroyed things and raged through the cathedral, but it stood. Think about the Nazi occupation. And so think about World War One, and the way that it was so close to the guns, and yet it stood. And here we are, it looks like, this is once again just initial reports, so take everything with a grain of salt here. We'll see. They said there was construction, French officials, and this is from the BBC, says officials with Notre Dame say it could be linked to renovation work. There was a $8 million project going on for renovation work. Maybe it was a spire or somewhere at Notre Dame. And they said it could be linked to this fire. I mean, you talk about, and the good thing now we're finding no people inside that they're reporting, once again, that we know of, that there nobody has been harmed. I don't know if there wasn't anybody in there. They just got everybody out. It was slow moving. I'm not sure. You know, of course, the structure of stone, but so much of interior, right, would not be stone that it could carry the fire. That people were not in there at the time. Although I guess if they're saying it could be a result of construction work, maybe those people were inside. Like I said, a lot of this stuff is just breaking right now. But what we do know is a massive fire has broken out in Notre Dame Cathedral right now, getting ready to be they are six hours ahead, right? 6 hours. So it's getting in the evening. And soon will be dark, right? Another couple hours will be dark there. And I guess they will continue to fight that fire. They say crews are fighting it right now. A Paris mayor, Anne Hidalgo, called it a terrible fire. No injuries have been reported as of now. Paris firefighters are fighting the flame while the area near the cathedral has been cleared. And they said there was renovation work going on with some sections under scaffolding while bronze statues were removed last week for work. Well, that might be maybe some of the antiquities were taken out of there.
Yeah, and I saw a tweet from this, I guess, former writer for The Atlantic, Matt Ford, and this came from 8 minutes ago, but he said, small blessing, looks like the flames haven't reached the, I'm going to mess this up, sacristy,
yeah.
Which hosts a small museum filled with sacred and royal artifacts that survived the revolution. So not only...
Yeah, because there's a bunch of stuff was lost during the French Revolution.
But not only the cathedral itself, but like you were saying, all the museum artifacts that they've held on to for so long, how many of those are going to be lost in this, and how many are they going to be able to save? Pretty dramatic, devastating stuff right here.
All right. Some people are asking, I see somebody on the text line, I don't even know who this is yet, saying, what about, how does a stone building burn like that? Once again, I imagine it's what's inside the stone walls, finished out. Those things are what's burning. The stone obviously won't burn, but all the things inside, to be frank, from what I am looking at in a video feed, it's almost the idea of a chimney. You know what I'm saying?
That
what's inside Notre Dame is burning, and it's the flames and the smoke vaulting up through what is essentially a chimney right now. The height of Notre Dame is 2,400 feet high. I guess that was up to the top of the spire. I don't know what the main structure, but the top spire, 2,400 feet. So, I mean, it's serving. Yeah, I'm looking at a new video feed. I mean, for just hayseed explanation of it, kind of the idea of a chimney with the. Obviously, the stone not wouldn't burn, but all the things inside.
Yeah, and the video that we just saw air, and I've seen on Twitter of the spire falling. Yeah, that's some pretty bad stuff. And then there's pictures now of flames just shooting through the stained glass windows of this nearly 1,000-year-old building. Just to think how long it's been there, and all of the historical moments that Notre Dame has stood right there in the same place, and this fire just seems to be, I mean, taking out a majority of it.
It is something. There's looking through the text line, a lot of people are heartbroken about what is being lost there. Absolutely. What pieces of history and antiquity that were in there that are being lost. Obviously, still a church is being used by the Catholic Church, still had Mass at Notre Dame. And but then people suggesting that, who would be behind it. I don't know. Once again, the people with the cathedral are saying that there was work being done. They're not for sure. I mean, BBC's reporting, they're just pointing out they're not for sure, but the work was being done at this time.
And not that his speech would have mattered to us originally, but French President Emmanuel Macron was scheduled to have a TV speech tonight.
Right, he canceled that.
Yeah, canceled that. That was set for 7:45, and you said, 6 hours ahead of us? So that would have been coming
aren't
up.
Aren't they, I have to go, I don't think, Paris is, we guess, yeah, you'll Google that. I think it's six, I think they're probably 6 hours ahead, if not maybe with the...
Right now, it looks like it's 7 hours ahead. So
7 hours ahead, okay.
They are at 8:14 p.m. right now in Paris.
All right, so going to dark there soon as they're fighting this fire. All right, we'll talk more about this and get you the latest updates from Westwood One throughout the hour right here on Midday Mobile. Just catching it right now, engulfed in flames, Notre Dame in Paris.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5. And thank you, Frank. The news accounts, I'm just reading copy as it comes out, and that's a bad idea. They're saying 2,400. Of course, it's 240 feet. It's 24 stories. Looks like for Notre Dame, and the spire, of course, making the top of that height. It has collapsed now, as you've heard, the roof collapse at Notre Dame in Paris, fully engulfed in flames. And the significance to me is a couple-fold. Number one, obviously, with its, with it being a cathedral, but on top of that, 1160, and I think it's put, our buddy Bill put it quite well. I mean, it's been around. They started the job at 1160, first finished, you know, air quotes here, finished, because they've done work to the cathedral over the centuries. You can't say decades, centuries. They've done the work to the cathedral. And now in 2019, it goes up in flames like this. Unbelievable and sad. We have more updates here. This coming in from Jim Bitterman with Westwood One.
The spire that sits at the center of Notre Dame collapsed and fell down symbolically, spelling the end of the roof and a real setback for the cathedral.
Melissa Bell from Westwood One with another update as well.
Those flames really have grown substantially. There appears to have been some part of the structure that just collapsed beneath their weight, and people are looking on, some of them in tears, some of them holding their hands to their mouths. These certainly cinders are now falling from the structure onto our heads.
All right, and more on this. French media has quoted the Paris Fire Brigade saying the fire is potentially linked to a €6 million, $6.8 million renovation project on the church's spire, and it's 250 tons of lead. Oh, wow. Think about that. With that now molten, I guess it would be hot enough. Flames shooting out the roof behind the nave of the cathedral, among the most visited landmarks in the world. Sights of flames stop passersby in their tracks along the Seine River that passes beneath the cathedral. French President Emmanuel Macron postponed the televised speech, what Dalton was just talking about, to the nation because of the stunning blaze. Macron's pre-recorded speech was set to air this evening to lay out his long-awaited answers to the yellow vest crisis that has rocked the country since last November. Goes on here. The Anne Hidalgo, the mayor of Paris, has said they're in despair at the terrible fire. She's been communicating on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, you see the president. President Trump, I sure wish they had those things. That would be a good thought process. He's saying, you know, and I'm paraphrasing. Let's see if I can find the tweet again, where the president said if they could have a way to, you know, do an aerial dump of water on the cathedral, that would be great. Yeah, here it is from President Trump on Twitter. So horrible to watch a massive fire at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Perhaps flying water tankers could have been used to put it out. Must act quickly. I just don't know if they have those kind of setups over in Paris. So we'll watch the story. You'll get more updates coming up at the bottom of the hour with the full Westwood One news. Also coming up in the second half of this hour, State Senator Arthur Orr joins us. This SB 77, his latest bill, he's done this for, I think, 3 years in a row, if not four, a bill to privatize ABC stores, the liquor stores, get the state out of the retail portion of selling booze. He brought it up again this year, and it didn't even make it out of committee. It's not that he didn't get the support from amongst the other senators or bounced over the House and got shut down there. It didn't even make it out of committee. I have him explain more about this coming up in just a little bit. Also, an update here on the cruise ship Fantasy, Carnival Cruise Ship Fantasy, as it came back in. We talked about it this morning during Mobile Mornings, and Chad Petrie had updated us as well about the Cuban nationals that were on. They were on one boat, or they were on one boat that lost its engines. Then they were picked up by a crew in a sport fisher, like a 30-something foot center console. They were picked up by that crew. That boat then lost its engines or engine to the point that it needed to be assisted. And I guess the closest vessel that could assist, that did assist, was the Carnival Cruise Ship Fantasy, the docks, of course, right here in Mobile. They picked up 23 people, put them on the Fantasy, and then they showed back up here in Mobile today. I know we were getting pictures earlier of the cruise ship coming up. And then somebody sent me a link here that there it is right there. Thanks, James. Breaking update here from, this is people at NBC 15. U.S. Customs and Border Protection takes 22 Cubans from Carnival Fantasy into custody in Mobile. All right, so they would have, I guess, it was 22, and then there was somebody, there was one other person, there was 23 people total, I think. But 22 Cubans from the Carnival Fantasy into custody in Mobile. So, yeah, I don't know what happened to the one James, no, you can't. James said it looks like one's already been signed. Now, come on, man. You can't. Who knows if they had a talent, but 22 Cubans taken into custody. We'll look for more on the story coming from our news partners at WKRG in just a little bit. All right. A couple things here before we get to our discussion with Arthur Orr. And this on this tax day, I put the story up. This was interesting. And I put the story up, the op-ed, actually, from the New York Times. And that's why I chose to go with that one versus another one, because it to me, it resonates more when an op-ed in the New York Times has the headline, "Face It, You Probably Got a Tax Cut. Studies consistently find that the 2017 law cut taxes for most Americans. Most of them just don't buy it." Okay. Yes, I chose to go with the New York Times article for that reason, to point this out. And it goes down in the story, the op-ed, from Ben Castleman and Jim Tankersley. I guess it's not truly an op-ed, because they just roll out the facts here, even though they do it in kind of an editorial fashion. But they roll out a lot of statistics. And one of them that struck me was the fact that out of the people, they said 65, here's a quote, "Tax Policy Center estimates that 65% of people paid less taxes under the new tax law, and that just 6% paid more. The rest saw little changes to their taxes." So I put this story on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 1065, which I hope you follow. And I got several people tweeting back at me. Now, I can't confirm, you know, what they're, I mean, somebody could say, well, they could be lying. Sure. I mean, they could be lying. But probably not, that their taxes actually went up. And it's amazing. We do have a high graded audience around here. I get that. But out of, now, if your taxes went up because you got a raise and you're making more money, then you can't, I got to DQ you on that. If you're making the same amount and you're paying more in taxes, please let me know, because several people here, even though a lot of people retweeted and said, you know, that's right, I'm getting more money, I've had a handful of people tell me, no, they actually are paying more in taxes than they were before. I'd love to hear the individual scenarios for that. Now, one here, like Patrick says, because he's saying with the recent gas increase, he'll be paying more in taxes. Well, but that doesn't kick in yet. That's not kicked in yet. And that didn't kick in the last tax year. So got to be fair, right? We're asking about, I mean, the story is covering what you're filing today, what you've maybe already filed or what you're filing today. You can't say going forward. I mean, it accurately or not, is it accurate that you're paying less taxes under the new law? Now, those people that were waiting for the big refund check that are going to be disappointed they're not getting the refund check, that doesn't mean anything. That means you had your money, instead of giving it to the government to hold tax or interest free for you, you got to keep it throughout the year. It says 65% of Americans paid less under law. 6% paid more. The rest of us saw little changes to our taxes. So the interesting part is why people don't believe this. And it kind of goes through this analysis in this this New York Times article and lays out when the Republicans started working on this tax bill and the president signed it, the disinformation machine that came out of the Democrats and groups favorable to the Democrats to try to brand it as something else, as a what they quote here, a broad middle class tax increase, which it has shown itself not to be. And they repeated that rhetoric so much that people were believing that without looking at their own numbers. They just believed that that was the situation. But once again, the research by many different groups and the story put together with the New York Times shows that whatever the rhetoric was, whatever the attack machine said about this, the facts are, just the numbers, 65% of us Americans paying less under the tax law, 6% paying more, the rest seeing little changes to your taxes. So there you go. Individual results may vary. So we'll check Twitter for that. Coming right back, we'll talk with State Senator Arthur Orr. The bill SB 77, although where's it going now because it didn't even make it out of committee? What is this push? And let's talk about what you would do to get the state of Alabama out of the retail liquor sales business. We'll do that when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, we'll keep you up to date with the latest from Paris as the fire continues to rage at Notre Dame Cathedral there. The spire is down, the roof has collapsed, and still seeing flames shooting from the cathedral. Right, I talked about this man. I've talked about him, it seems like, yearly for the last two or three or maybe more years when it's during legislative session. I was talking about him last week, and I was slack-jawed that SB 77, Senator Arthur Orr out of District 3's bill to privatize the retail sales of booze in the state of Alabama didn't even make it out of committee. And he's joining us now from North Alabama, or maybe you're in Montgomery already. Senator Orr, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Sean. Good to be with you. It's pretty up here in the Northland. Hope it's the same down there on the coast.
Yeah, we're good down here. So from where you are to where I am, and all points in between, or most points in between, there's a retail location run by the state of Alabama selling liquor somewhere nearby, right?
That's pretty much correct, unless you're a dry county somewhere.
Right.
But they have approximately 170, 180 stores across the state.
Okay. The state is in the business of selling liquor. They are in competition with private enterprise. Is that fair to say?
That's very fair to say.
And this is, listen, the legacy of these kind of stores existed in a lot of states, but a lot of states have moved on beyond that. But here we are in Alabama, one of the few states still holding on to, it's not just the regulation of liquor. That's one thing I think you get a lot of agreement on, folks, but the retail sales of it, I mean, it seems like something from 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
That's absolutely correct. You know, it's an antiquated structure, and we've had the legislative fiscal office analyze if we were to get out of the retail sales of alcohol, you know, what would be the savings to the taxpayers? And the numbers bounce around anywhere between 7 to 15 million or so if you get rid of the labor cost, the leases and the rental cost and all the equipment. That all goes away, and so that's an annual savings to the Alabama taxpayers.
Senator Orr, in the past I've talked about it and said, listen, there are a lot of people working in the retail side for ABC stores, and probably all good folks, I don't know. But the problem is that that's a part of state government and employees with state government that I don't believe, and I think a lot of people don't believe, should be part of the function of government.
Well, again, when we're talking about competing with something the private sector, I think, could do just as well, if not better, because as some of your listeners know, state stores are not open on Sundays. They're not open after hours, and the private stores are. And so it's just something the private sector can do much better with the regulation and oversight from the ABC board as far as just trying to control the overall sales of alcohol when it comes to selling to minors and obeying the law.
Oh, wait a second. You're telling me, Senator Orr, that I think it was maybe two sessions ago when you were really getting some traction and they came out and said, listen, if this is successful, there'll be, and I'm paraphrasing here, drunk children in the streets if this changes.
Well, that's been one of the pushbacks. Usually you find a concern from the those that disagree with the use of alcohol. My response is, most of the times, that's left up to the cities. The cities control where the liquor stores are put. Their zoning laws are in place. You know, is it near a school, near a church, or something like that? That's up to the locals. Another group that complains, of course, as you've already hit on, Sean, is the state employees. There's about 600-plus jobs related to the retail sales across the state. And, of course, those would go away. My response is to people, are we running an employment agency in state government? Are we supposed to have the most efficient government that we can have? And then the last group is probably the most powerful group that traditionally opposes getting out of the retail sales, and that's the landlords. Those are the ones that have leases to ABC for the stores, and they're very lucrative leases, and those individuals have a lot of power and they have a lot of money, and they hire the lobbyists that work the halls and work the members to gin up opposition to the bill each year.
I do like the choice of ginning up opposition. Okay, I've talked about this before. Help me understand this, that by law, I think, if I'm correct, ABC, the state cannot own the property that the retail location goes in. They have to lease. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, even though the state does have properties, right, that they're holding on to, haven't liquidated or whatever, they, by law, have to rent the place they put the ABC stores. That seems like a straight conduit for people to have a vested interest in keeping this open.
Well, hey, you know, again, money talks, unfortunately, in politics. And I tell people one of my axioms that I use that I've learned from about 13 years in Montgomery is that the money will always win unless the people are screaming. And so unless the people, your listeners, start screaming about getting out of the retail sales of alcohol, by and large, usually the lobbyist and the money crowd, special interest, will win every time when it comes into the legislative arena.
You know, they'll talk about, folks from ABC will talk about the revenue that comes to the state, but you're not talking about removing the portion that collects the excise tax as it comes in, right? I mean, the state would still be collecting money as that liquor comes in.
Correct. The interesting thing that came up in committee is the ABC representative threw out a figure of $85 million would be lost to the agencies who are depending on the money now, and the bill that I had doesn't affect that at all. We would, this, assuming people drink the same, mm-hmm. and the same quantity is being sold, the money does it just doesn't go into the ABC board for distribution. It would then go into the general fund, but that could be remedied with just very simple measures to make sure that agencies like mental health and others that receive ABC proceeds remain whole under a new environment for retail sales. So the money doesn't leave. It just enters in via a different door, and it can be distributed the same manner that it is today.
This is one of the things that really set me back last week, too, that the committee there in the Senate that your bill did not make it out of, correct me if I'm wrong, is it the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development?
A little bit of irony there, but yes, that's the committee the bill was assigned to and that voted the bill down.
Senator Orr, yeah, I mean, I'm shaking my head on that, and it goes in some of the reporting on it that, like you mentioned, members of the ABC board came to speak against your bill, and the Alabama State Employees Association, Alabama Citizens Action Program. I mean, it's obvious their dog in that hunt, right? It's obvious why they want to fight it. So, I mean, that can't be seen through by the six that oppose this on that committee.
Well, you know, I can't speak for the opponents. I guess they have their various and sundry reasons. But, you know, I was surprised as you. It's been a fairly close vote in years past, but the mm-hmm. bills always managed to come out of committee, and then trying to get a floor vote becomes even more difficult because you have some members who are very committed to oppose the bill, and I won't assign reasons, but I scratch my head on them. That's all I got to say about that.
I think continue to put a spotlight on it helps in having people aware, because I think a lot of people aren't aware of the nuances, like the mentioning that they have to lease, and there's people that are you know, big benefactor to the fact the state has to lease those properties. And also, of course, you have group of people, a big group of people, they're speaking with one voice to try to keep those jobs that, like you said, I don't believe are the job of government. But there have to be enough members of the Senate and the House that got to in the hallway say, hey, Arthur, I agree with you, man. I mean, this is not the job. I mean, the Republicans are in control. This seems like something Republicans and fiscal conservatives would say, yeah, we need to get out of this. And you also, you're giving it it's not like you're removing it right away. You're pulling the rug out. Didn't you have till 2024 for a phase out?
That's correct. It would just be phased out over a period of years. And what was different about this bill is it didn't try to solve all the problems or all the issues in the legislation. In other words, we left it up to the state ABC board as to determine how best to exit the retail sales and give them the rulemaking authority, which they already have, to do that and make regulations to begin the process of getting out. But again, all for naught this year. But I'm a pretty stubborn individual, so I'll try again next year. But with people like yourselves help and putting the word out, hopefully we can turn the corner next year.
Well, I hope so. And you did in this year's bill also have part of it to say, listen, displaced workers from ABC would be given some, you know, obviously the notice here, but some advantage to try to find a new job.
That's correct. We tried to accommodate the displaced workers. That's, in years past, it seemed to be a concern of members, so we put that in there. If they were, you know, severed of their employment, that we give them some additional accommodations.
All right. So, well, this year you just lost a battle, not the war. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. And what's interesting, though, what has been rumored is a bill that will be coming from the House has not been filed, but it would remove the state from not only the retail side, but the wholesale, where the state has a monopoly on the wholesale distribution of liquor. And that would be what I would call a nuclear bomb in the system. And we'll see where it progresses. Fundamentally, I'm supportive of getting us out of those roles in government. I just need to make sure that we do it in a careful manner.
Okay, yeah, but your SB 77 was specific to retail, right? Not wholesale.
Correct.
And maybe they'll kind of wish they took 77 versus whatever the HB is, whatever the House bill is.
You read my mind.
All right. We're going to have you come back and talk about this in the future with us, Senator Arthur Orr. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sean. Have a great day.
You too. There it is. So that's what we've been talking about all these years. There's a man that brings a bill every year. Doesn't make it out of, I mean, does this give you a little slack in the jaw when it doesn't make it out of the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development? Oh, Alabama.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 152 FM Talk 106.5. Yeah, it's the first time we've got in all the years Arthur Orr, Senator Arthur Orr on the show. So it's, yeah, and that's not not Democrats to blame. I mean, that's Republicans are controlling the show, and six of them on the Committee for Fiscal Responsibility. I don't know if they were all Republicans, but six on the Committee for Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development voted to not get the state out of the business of selling booze. Some of these things, they tackle some subjects in Montgomery, and they get after it, and they're going to change things, and then some things just stay the same. They just stay, well, that's just the way we've always done it. That's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. Wow. We'll keep pushing it like we do year after year here, and maybe we'll get some traction elsewhere. All right, another update here out of Paris, and Jim Bitterman with Westwood One.
It's very difficult for the firemen to gain access, and they're having a hard time getting their hoses in proximity, and you can see that the spray of the fire hoses barely makes it to the flames.
More from Melissa Bell on the same subject.
So much of that roof has now vanished, with just bits of scaffolding remaining. But scenes of chaos really here in Paris. It took everyone so much by surprise. And as they struggle to get through the afternoon traffic, because of course this happened just after rush hour, it would have been very difficult for those fire engines to get there in time.
I wonder, I guess it's because of the intensity of the flame that they can only, and the heat, that they could only get so close, or is it the fact that it says the fire hoses barely are making it? Is it they don't have enough fire hose to get from the hydrant, or is it because I would imagine it's just the intensity of the heat from that fire? We'll continue to watch this story and post up here on the latest out of Paris. As if you've just checking this out, Notre Dame Cathedral has been burning for hours now there in Paris, and it looks like flames are still rolling now. The roof collapsed, spire collapsed. Some are suggesting some people there with the cathedral. I think BBC is saying the cause not immediately clear, but officials say, so I don't know if those are just French officials or Notre Dame officials or who, that it could be linked to renovation work going on. And yes, this is a great text here. I feel guilty when I break a wine glass at work. Can you imagine the poor soul who started this fire? That's what we were talking about out in the hallway. When it was brought up with Bill Roth had brought that up. They started construction in 1160, finished at the first in 1260, and now in 2019 it goes up in flames. If it turns out somebody with whatever it was, they lit up a cigarette, I don't know. I mean, this might not be the issue. But if it is something like that, can you imagine something that has been there for centuries and all of a sudden is severely damaged in 2019? All right, a couple other things I want to wrap up with. Here, yeah, and I got a text from my buddy Robert. This is worth saying. Let me read this here. As we're talking about this taxes thing, because I want to make sure we're talking about this. I want to do what is not being done by some news groups out there. I want to tackle this honestly. Robert says, clarify when changes to the tax policy, please distinguish between the federal taxes and total taxes. For example, federal plus state, per reference, most people received a decrease in their federal tax rate. Some folks, particularly in high tax states like California and New Jersey, saw a decrease in federal taxes, but still have a higher total tax bill. Yeah, those states, listen, the winners out of this tax cut, when you combine state and federal, are definitely states like ours, compared to like a New Jersey. And when you start taking, because we were subsidizing with federal taxes, state taxes. In other words, people would pay those higher state taxes in a New Jersey or California and then be able to write that off their federal taxes. And that went away. And so, yeah, people in those states, depends on the price of the properties they owned and all those things and what they paid in taxes there, their deductions were significant. But it's still going back to that New York Times article that I think is a very fair and measured and uses numbers and nonpartisan groups out there. The Joint Committee on Taxation, Congress's nonpartisan team of tax analysts, found that every income group would see a tax cut on average in the 2017 plan. So did the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, a left-leaning think tank. So here's what happened. I mean, there was enough rhetoric about how this would not be a cut for the middle class that because people don't see it like they're not going to get a big refund because they got the money back in their check throughout the year. Now people are believing, oh, I didn't get it. And now the article says 6% of people actually saw their taxes go up under the new plan. I think it says Tax Policy Center estimating 65% of Americans paid less taxes under the new law. 6% paid more. The rest saw little change to their taxes. Now, of course, that is federal taxes. Now, its impact on state taxes, it's a different thing. But this is, once again, just by the numbers. Now, what I can circle back around and say, as we continue to deficit spend, it doesn't matter who's in office, Republicans or Democrats, I'm not happy. So I'm not going to pretend to change my tune on that. But I realize I'm also the minority that cares about that. So let's get it to the numbers here on this tax day. And more Americans taking home more money day after day. Now, that may not mean the big surprise, $20 in your jacket pocket, woo! But you kept your money throughout the year without making that interest-free loan to the federal government. All right, reminder, this show, many others, 40-some-odd hours a week of live local programming available for you in podcast form. Real easy to get them, too. You can go to fmtalk1065.com and click the link for podcast. But you can also sign up and have them delivered right there to your handy smartphone, wherever you're carrying it with you all the time. You can go to iTunes and subscribe. You can go to Stitcher, and I use I got an Android phone, got a Samsung, so I'm a Android user. Stitcher, like someone who stitches, great app to get those podcasts delivered to your phone. Also, if you go on Spotify for your music, they've got our podcast. You can sign up there. And same thing on TuneIn Radio. They've got our podcast. So check them out and get signed up today. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. I'll talk to y'all in the morning for another edition of Mobile Mornings. Have a great one.